This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's McDermott, because if the Bills make an AFC playoff field that lacks Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and then they lose one and done to the Jaguars. But on the scale of NFL owners being embarrassed, losing to the Jaguars is kind of up there. I could see, not that like McDermott will be fired on the tarmac, but there's going to be a big sit down. There's going to be a conversation. How did this all go wrong? Things could precipitate and trickle down such that eventually it leads to, like, you know, that mutual parting of ways. Simply because like the Bills have been a little bit unfairly set up for very high expectations in this particular AFC playoff, despite the fact that this Bills team, like, not outside of Josh, not as good as maybe you'd like for the Bills to be, not as good as we're accustomed to them being. And so I could see an embarrassing one and done loss in Jacksonville leading to some, like, you know, domino effects that gets McDermott out of there.
Benjamin Solak of ESPN, I do know that is a topic of conversation amongst Bills fans, is what happens if they lose this game? Do they just go on as business as usual on to next year? I think that's the most likely. I like, though, what he said there. Not necessarily for McDermott.
Of how he gets to it.
But it's not on the tarmac, right? There's not Lane Kiffin at USC, but more long sit down, how do we get here, what have you. I don't think that then leads to McDermott having to fall on his sword, maybe a mutual parting of ways. If that is to be a conversation.
If there's disagreements between the coach and the GM as well.
I think it's the GM that would ultimately get the act. If that's a conversation that's happening,
If the owner's being told me or him, I think the answer is you keep McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Pegula would do. I don't think there's going to be some sort of ultimatum there, but there could be another. Like, again, I'm only looking at what I've seen throughout the rest of this year publicly.
Mm-hmm.
If there is beef between the two of them and it turns into, yeah, I can't work with this dude anymore, or I can't really work with you anymore. I'm not seeing the same vision as you are. Okay, cool. You know, I guess we can get a new head coach. It's fine. Mutual parting of ways. And that's how that goes. Again, I still think the organization, that's the one thing I don't think that Solak has here, is that I think the organization will favor McDermott over being in that.
But that is weird in the NFL. You saw it yesterday.
Weird, yeah.
Three coaches were fired. All three of those GMs stayed in place. Now, one of them is John Spytek. He literally also just got there with Pete Carroll. It's a one-and-done situation. That's fine. But guys,
and
like
Carroll's
Andrew Berry.
Up there in age.
Right. And so
Andrew Berry making it somehow is like, okay, buddy.
Like, that was a bit, I don't want to say eye-opening, but also one of those, like, yeah, the guy that's sitting in the suite with the owner, you know, it usually is going to go that way. And I was listening to John Middlecoff's podcast on my way in this morning, and I think he made a good point too. It's not just that. It's also they can speak the owner's language much more than the coach can.
Yes.
Coach is doing, you know, football speak.
Coach is on the field.
Right. And he's on the field, but even when, you know, the going gets tough, he's speaking a different language the owner may not understand at all. The GM knows contracts and simple terms of, is a player good or bad? And I was listening to John say that this morning. I'm like, yeah, that also is probably part of it, is who's the one I can easily just go talk to about this stuff?
Yep.
It's the GM, the coach, you know, gets in the minutia, and you might get a little bit lost there. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have primetime players coming up here in this segment, but before we do that, we'll get some calls here as well. And we'll start this segment off with Brian on the line. Brian, how we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm hoping to be one of those Bills fans there up on Sunday in Jacksonville.
There we go.
Yeah, and I'm feeling confident. Specifically, I don't like Jacksonville's offensive line. I've watched quite a few games of them this year. I think that McDermott can dial up that pass rush, especially in the playoffs. You got Trevor Lawrence kind of shaky a little bit. He starts throwing picks. That is not unknown. And, you know, yeah, I get that they have a really good receiving core. That's all fine and well, but they get really reliant on that passing game. They start to get too reliant on that passing game. He starts to throw interceptions. We get a pick six. You know, we get a fumble recovery, return for a touchdown. that's changing the entire tune up there. That fan base, I was there in playoff game there in 2017, 2018, and the wild card game. That fan base is kind of mediocre. Yeah, great. They're real loud at the beginning, but they don't really make a whole lot of noise. You suck the air out of that stadium. You have the 25, 30% Bills fans there making noise. It's going to be difficult, I think, for Trevor Lawrence and that offense to really, you know, kind of come back. I know, too, in one of the games he played, even though they did come back, you know, they went down like 20-something points against the Chargers a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he throws four picks in that game. He ends up with 4-4, but it was a bad first half for him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you do that against this Bills defense, I don't think that happens. I mean, the Bills secondary, I mean, they're one of the top secondaries in the NFL right now. I don't think that a lot of people realize how good this secondary, especially since McDermott has taken over some of the defensive play calling, you know, in the latter half of the season. So, I mean, listen, I get it's going to be a really tough test. Defensive line up there is unbelievable. With Josh Allen there, the second Josh Allen and Eric Armstead and a couple other of those guys. But, you know, listen, I think that the Bills didn't kind of show their full deck of cards, too, on offense. You know, when you look at Josh Allen's historic numbers, too, in the wild card round, he's thrown like 18 touchdowns, over 2,000 yards. This guy's a gamer. And knowing that they haven't won on the road in the playoffs in over 30 years, there's going to be a huge ship, I think, on this Bills team coming in to Jacksonville on Sunday. So I'm interested to kind of hear your thoughts. But go Bills, man.
Brian, thanks for the call, man. I will say the one thing I want to push back on a little bit is McDermott really dialing up the pass rush in the playoffs. I think that's kind of been the exact opposite. That's maybe been the main reason they have been able to get
that's
past Kansas
actually
City.
One of their biggest pitfalls is
they can't get the quarterback on the ground in the biggest games.
Yeah.
And with Lawrence as well, look, I'd love for him all of a sudden to revert back to a pumpkin and his Cinderella story is over here, you know, in what has been, I think, kind of his reclamation season. He hasn't had to change teams, but he is kind of in that same vein of guys like Baker and Sam Darnold. But he's thrown one pick since week 13. He has been absolutely dialed in. He is playing the position at maybe a top five level at the moment. I'm not saying like overall he's now a top five quarterback, but just at the end of the season, looking around the league, he's playing the position almost better than anybody else. It's going to be a tall task for the Bills. It absolutely is. Can they get it done? 100%. You do mention they are one of the better pass defenses in the sport. They're also now probably down Max Hairston.
Yep.
It is going to be a tall task for them. I think this really is going to come down to, yeah, you kind of hope that the inexperience does start to shine.
I do like the mentioning of the pass rush, though, too, because, like you mentioned, pressure rate, they're top 15, top 10-ish, you did say. And the Bills are in a similar sense. They have very close to similar numbers in finishing. The Bills have 36 sacks on the year, Jacksonville 32.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is Jacksonville's taking the football away more. Protect the ball. Don't do anything rash, which Allen's been a lot better with in the passing game over the past several years. And you've probably got a way to control things. If you can win a turnover battle as you are wont to do, it can end up being far more beneficial for you. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense has been good at taking the football away.
Yeah, their turnover percentage is second best in the league, only behind Chicago.
So, have they lost most of their games?
Losing the turnover battle.
Being a little reckless with the football.
Yeah. It's bit them a little bit throughout this year. 803-0550, again, the number to call. I want to jump on here. But, been hinting at it.
It's
had
time.
A bit of a fun week in sports. And with that, it's time for our primetime player, sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And Derek, the NFL was
wonky.
I was just going to say bad this week.
Willy wonky?
Willy wonky works. There were a few good games, but for the most part, I was locked in on the college games, some NHL.
Yes, there's a lot of a mixed bag here.
So it's a very, very mixed bag here.
It's a very mixed bag, but I do have... I have five honorable mentions because there was just a lot that happened.
Very nice.
And most of them are within football. So I'll just hammer these out. We won't go back and forth on the honorable mentions, more or less for time's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is the chaotic ending between the Steelers and Ravens.
Beautiful.
You and I, after the overtime show ended, sat here, stayed here, watched the end of that game. because that fourth quarter became absolute cinema. It was oops, awesome. All screw-ups.
Awesome.
And, of course, the Steelers win oops, all screw-ups in the fourth quarter because how the touchdowns are being scored, Zay Flowers is being covered by nobody. Calvin Austin is left wide open after he burns.
He does a little juke move, and a man fell down.
A man fell down, and the safety help does not come over.
Oh, man.
And then a missed extra point followed up by a missed field goal after a missed play by Jalen Ramsey. Like, it was oops, all screw-ups. And, of course, when we have a game of oops, all screw-ups, Pittsburgh's winning that football game. Let us be entirely clear about that. If it's ugly, it's Steelers football.
It was so good. I really
gross.
Did. It was one of my favorite games this year, just in the regular season, not having any rooting interest. It was so much fun. And even, you know, afterwards, too, Lamar Jackson, very animated in his post-game press conference. Bit of a mean question, you know. John Harbaugh, how do you feel about his future? I'm trying to, like, rationalize what I just saw, and you're going to ask me about next year. Just all around, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, throughout that rivalry's history, has always delivered, you know, outside of a few moments here and there. But for the most part, it has delivered close games.
Absolutely.
And that
chaos.
Was a great way to end the regular season.
Zay Flowers is on this list because of how that game was ending. He has two touchdowns on four receptions. 138 yards.
Awesome.
Yeah, it wild stuff. Mitch Trubisky and Ray Davis are both going to end up on the honorable mentions here. Trubisky had 259 yards passing. Ray Davis had 151 yards rushing. They were absolutely in a stratosphere of their own, to say the least, blowing out a bad Jet squad and showing them just how bad that they were. The last two honorable mentions are going to hockey. I've got Mika Zibanejad for the first ever hat trick in Winter Classic history.
Giddy up.
In a win over the Florida Panthers.
Quote-unquote winter classic.
Yes. It was played in winter, okay?
Played in winter.
And for Mika Zibanejad, that was a classic type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Rangers have more wins in outdoor games than they do home wins this year.
Absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And then finally, Sidney Crosby's on a 7-game point streak. 5 goals, 7 assists. Pittsburgh's been 6-1 during this run. I think that... maturing is acknowledging that, no, you should not be hating on Sidney Crosby unless you're a Caps fan or a Flyers fan. That's it.
Right, only if he's hurt you.
Like and he's hurt me, but he's so good.
Right, no, I absolutely. My honorable mentions, Myles Garrett on there, only one sack, but it does get him the record. Say what you want about the sack and Burrow kind of falling down, maybe just not wanting to take as hard of a hit as maybe he was expecting. I from what I saw, I was not able to watch all of the game, but from what I was seeing and hearing, he was fighting to not get him the sack all day. And so just kind of like fall on your sword a little bit, I understand that. But Garrett finally gets the sack. It was a bit of a stressful period there for a little while. I honestly didn't think he'd get it. Just because of how the 2 weeks prior had gone for him, where it dried up immediately, and you're like, oh no, right at the goal line, it's going to not all go for him. It does end up happening for him, though. Gets one sack, great for him. I also have Ray Davis on there. Just really happy for him, honestly. To the same vein as Mitch Trubisky as well, for him to have that performance. For some of these guys, it probably also extends their careers. You know, Trubisky may now have an option to maybe start a team like Indianapolis.
Arizona's going to bring in Mitch Trubisky to start week one.
Miami, what could they end up doing? Like, there's going to be options there for him to leave on that note. Albeit, yes, against the Jets, but he did look, you know, for the most part, very good.
He made them look like the Jets.
And then Ray Davis, you know, a guy that has had such an up-and-down year, started a little while there to really come on the up-and-up due to kick returns. And then for him to have that game, you know, over 150 yards rushing, 174 yards total, and a touchdown as well, great for him. Stafford is on this list because I think he may have locked up the MVP, beating up on an Arizona team, 4 touchdown passes for him. He's over 45 touchdown passes. I think even with Drake May's total numbers, he's still behind Stafford in total in passing touchdowns.
Well, last year that didn't matter.
It did not matter. I do want to get a little bit away, though, from MVPs. Like, you have to win your division and be, like, one of the top two seeds. I think we're really, in a sense, I think we're trying to simplify it. Stafford has been the best quarterback in the sport this year.
I do
and,
like...
And if we're going off of that and how valuable that is, I think Stafford should be the MVP.
All right, so we into...
Oh, and then Nathan McKinnon, back-to-back four-point games, wins over Carolina and St. Louis. He's absolutely incredible.
Lord.
Now we're onto the top five.
Now we're in the top five, and since we're in the top five, we'll bring up, because we failed to mention to start it, it's brought to you by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. Number five, I'm going with a player that lost in an NFL game that did not matter.
Oh, that's good.
but it's Indianapolis wide receiver Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce, in three quarters worth of work, four receptions, 132 yards, and two touchdowns, and then gets ejected from the worst sense of over-abused power by a referee because he doesn't even really bump into him.
Mm-hmm.
The ref's arm is what hits him, and he gets flagged and ejected for it. A shame because that would have actually probably allowed the Bills to be going to Pittsburgh, which I would have loved.
That would have been nice. We'd be having a much different conversation
this week.
But no,
thanks, Stripes. Really appreciate it because Riley Leonard was balling and having Alec Pierce through three quarters certainly helped in that one.
Number five for me, head coach. Kirk Cignitti of Indiana. I wanted to try to find a way. I didn't know if he was going to be an honorable mention for me. I didn't know if he was going to be on the list. I decided for him to go on the list. And mainly because you're going to see very much a theme on this is going to be how important the games were that they played in. Cignitti, though. What he has done at Indiana is storybook. There is absolutely going to be a movie or at least a very in-depth documentary of at least the last 2 years, if not more, depending on how his career continues to go at Indiana. But absolute Rose Bowl domination over Alabama, 38-3. Game was never close. Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman. He looks like he's going to be the number one overall pick. They almost had two 100-yard rushers in this game. They probably would have if the game was any bit competitive. And their defense just looks absolutely incredible. And to see how quickly Indiana has gone from just a doormat to a team that is beating up on some of the best teams in the sport, Ohio State and Alabama now. They've already beaten Oregon in Autzen. They're going to get another shot at them on Friday for a shot at the national title. It's just incredible. And then you look at the future. They currently, Derek, sit with the number three ranked transfer portal class, courtesy of 24/7 Sports. So they're not going away. They are going to be staying. He's going to get a statue in Bloomington before it's all said and done. So Kirk Cignitti comes in at number five for me.
All right, number four, I'm going to the college football playoff as well. I'm going with Oregon defensive back Brandon Finney.
Mm-hmm.
Finney has three turnovers on the day, two interceptions, one fumble recovery, in addition to six tackles, in a dominant defensive performance that humbles Texas Tech and shuts them out.
Yeah, I mean, just killed them. Killed them.
Absolutely crushes them.
Spoiler alert. Finney will be coming up on mine as well.
There we go. And that's good to know. And as a spoiler, I will stay with college football coming up in my list as well.
Number four for me, the last NFL guy, Aaron Rodgers. He's had a pretty solid year for Pittsburgh. Nothing great. And, I mean, he's still probably well past his prime. But 294 and a touchdown, back and forth affair with Baltimore. We talked about how great that game was. And he scored to take the lead when he had the ball last. Like, there was still a missed extra point there that's not on him, and the team still wins. But he did it when he needed to, and he was making some throws in that fourth quarter. Lamar was as well. Lamar would be on this list if they had won. And I'll just straight up say they would have flipped spots.
Right.
But Rodgers gets the win, so he gets on there. But he was absolutely phenomenal in that fourth quarter.
He played as needed in that fourth quarter. It was cinema. All right, number three. Mississippi quarterback Trinidad Chambliss.
Oh, man.
Chambliss has been awesome for Ole Miss since he's taken over and is providing me with everything that I need in this college football playoff, and that is the performance of what spite does for you. Ole Miss loses Lane Kiffin. They keep winning.
And not just winning, they maybe have their programs in the modern history, so I don't want to like take away the 60s, but in their modern history, probably their best win.
It's their biggest statement. It's against number one Georgia. It is... Actually, they weren't number one, were they?
No.
Sorry, excuse
Indiana
me.
Indiana was. But it's
against
still,
Georgia.
It's Georgia, you know, SEC royalty.
It's SEC royalty, and you take them down, and Chambliss is part of that. 362 yards and two touchdowns in that win, by the way. But now, you've got Miami. And an opportunity to make the college football championship. And I'm excited for that. I'm actually thinking like, okay, you know what? Let it be Miami. Good. Miami is also the ultimate case of Notre Dame quiet down, but also Alabama happened. And Alabama was probably the bigger one anyway. And they got embarrassed. But no, Chambliss, primetime player and a primetime performance there against Georgia.
Also, looks like if he does get that waiver, he'll be back next year for Ole Miss, along with Quan Lacy, their running back as well. So Ole Miss may not be going away here as they move into the Pete Golding era, and they're doing it in incredible fashion, making it to the college football semifinal. Number three for me is part of the college football playoff, but the FCS, version.
There we go.
Their national championship was last night. Montana State quarterback Justin Lampson, 4 total touchdowns, including the game winner in the national championship against Illinois State. They end up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Scoring in overtime to kick the extra point to win 35-34. Lampson has 4 total touchdowns. Montana State, royalty in the FCS version of that. And I've mentioned Montana State, how big that game was
and how expensive
2 weeks
it got.
Ago and how expensive it got. Montana State ultimately is the one that reaps the rewards. And then number 2 for me as well, because we were just talking about him, Trinidad Chambliss, and just how phenomenal that performance was. I'm just stunned kind of Ole Miss made this run. Their defense is a real weak point. You saw it against Georgia. They were able to put up a bunch of points. But this is kind of why you watch college football. Chambliss may not be an NFL guy. I think he is going to get looks, and I'm a little surprised he's going back to college next year, or at least it appears he's going to, or at least try to, again, depending on if he gets his waiver. But he was just making stunning throw after stunning throw. And I don't know. I don't think they'll keep going, but I've thought that since the beginning. I thought they'd beat Tulane and then lose to Georgia.
I have my team it. I'm pulling for here.
And now, like, I'm kind of pulling for them. Like, I want Indiana to win to kind of finish out the storybook.
But, I'm going to throw up in Purdue.
But also, like, a part of me sitting here like, no, Indiana's going to stay around. Like, they've already got, like, a little bit of their storybook. They got to wait a little bit longer. Where Ole Miss, I'm like, no, in total spite. And then with that as well, Lane Kiffin, egg on his face already. You knew the pressure was going to be insane for him going to LSU and jumping ship from already a playoff team. Like, they could have beaten Tulane, lost to Georgia, and that'd been it. And already the pressure on Lane Kiffin would have been huge because he's leaving a playoff roster to go rebuild and potentially build a playoff roster. Now it's not just that. He left a national semifinal team, and you have to add in too, Derek, that a bunch of these assistants that are going to LSU were also coaching for Ole Miss. So they're balancing 2 jobs, and they still beat Georgia.
And
so now if you're Lane Kiffin, there's probably going to be a part of you sitting there going, we maybe could have won the national title this year. And then if you're an LSU fan and the boosters and all that are going to be dealing with Kiffin, you need to be in the college football playoff next year. You need to win it in 2 years. That's going to be the expectations for him.
All of a sudden, LSU can get mightily impatient if his squad is winning without him. He's the only thing missing right now. Well, I think some of the assistants are.
Well, now they're all kind of starting to go over.
But the big piece, or the head coach, is gone, and they're winning without him.
The pressure was already very high. It is now at a nuclear Chernobyl level.
It's going to be turned up.
It's going to be incredible to see how that goes.
Wrapping up number 2 here, I've got Myles Garrett. This is a big thing. It's more about the milestone more than it is about the play itself. The play itself should have been blown dead on a false start. He blows past a left tackle that started early and beat him so cleanly that Joe Burrow fell down.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done. I'm not dealing with this
because
today.
We've seen those sacks before where a tackle is beaten so badly you think, oh, God, I'm going to lose the football if I try to stay up.
Right.
And Burrow recognizes that. What he doesn't know is that it's Myles Garrett. And it also triggers the Cincinnati Bengals, the softest franchise in the National Football League. A team that has been mad about selling tickets in advance because, God forbid, you have contingency plans. Zach Taylor and Ja'Marr Chase both saying they were annoyed that they stopped the game.
Like, this hasn't happened before.
This hasn't happened before. Yeah, like, dude.
It's just incredible lack of awareness by the Cincinnati Bengals as a whole.
Stay 10-ply Charmin soft, Bengals. It's getting you everywhere. Clearly, it's making sure that you don't have contracts for Trey Hendrickson. It's making sure that Shamar Stewart is mad at you because you're trying to be super hard-o. The way you conduct yourselves in Cincinnati is an embarrassment, and I'm glad the record happened to you.
And they lost that game.
And they lost to the Browns!
And they lost that game, too.
Oh, that was the best one. Zach Taylor, like, we're coaching for our season here. Brother, you were eliminated 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard Taylor say that. I'm like, what is he talking about? You're not fighting for your lives. Your season is over already.
Oh my God. It's me.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. You're just salty it happened against you. Right. And I'm happy. So Myles Garrett, number two.
Number one for me, already mentioned it. A little spoiler, he's gonna be on here. Brandon Finney Jr., the Oregon freshman DB, 6 tackles, 2 interceptions, a fumble recovery, part of a shutout win over Tech. And really, he's number one and Chambliss is number two because of the age. Finney is a freshman starting his first college football playoff game. And that's an incredible – I'm sorry, his second one. And that's just an incredible performance. Tech, though, great defense, rough offense. But,
roughed up.
The age part and, of course, how important the game is puts Finney at number one for me.
All right, number one for me. I'm going back to the hockey rinks here. Unfortunately, I have to throw up when I'm saying this one. Nikita Kucherov.
Well.
Kucherov is on a 7-game point streak as well. But he has 17 points in this point streak. And Tampa has been 7-0. In this stretch, which has allowed the Lightning to, as I'd aforementioned, be one of those three Atlantic teams in the top three pulling away. The Lightning continuing their win streak after Buffalo could not. So
there you have it.
They are the hottest team in the National Hockey League, and it's because, in big part, Kucherov, 17 points in these 7 games.
Incredible. There you have it, though. Primetime Players for this week. It is sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. 803-0550, the number to call. We're free the rest of the way till 12 o'clock. If you want to get your thoughts in on Bills, Jags, what are you feeling as we head into Sunday, the wild card round? Bills are going to be on the road for this one after not winning the division. Are we feeling good? Are we feeling bad? A little nervous? Excited. Love to hear it. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
He's a beauty. He's probably one of the dumbest human beings I've ever like just big like white trailer trash with he yeah no he doesn't care. He'll fight the toughest guy in the league. He doesn't care. He'll start every game. I love his game. He's a little rat. He's got some good skill too and sees the ice well, but yeah, he's one of those guys that just competes and works his nuts off every single night and he doesn't care if he's lined up across.
Sabres forward Tage Thompson on the Spit and Chicklets podcast. He's talking about me. It's fine. It's cool.
Talking about me.
He's talking about Zach Benson. We share the same first name. And we spell it correctly.
Okay.
We spell it correctly.
Let's settle it down a little bit.
Tage Thompson, though, also was on WGR earlier this morning. If you do want to listen back to that, you can find it on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com.
How can you not like Zach Benson, by the way, is really what I would want to say in that clip is, yeah, no, the guy starts stuff all the time. He's scrappy. He's good. At creating turnovers, causing chaos.
He's a great playmaker. I think the moment he starts scoring more,
I think
he'll become an immediate, just everyone loves him. Not just fan favorite, everyone loves him.
You know what? Just for me, I don't even know if this needs to be released to the public. I need a mic on Zach Benson.
I wonder how good of a trash talker he actually is.
I wonder what he's saying.
Yeah, I do wonder.
I legitimately wonder what he's saying.
I listened to a little bit, too, of Tage yesterday. More, not just of that clip, but just more of his appearance with those guys. Talking about the win streak and how it came to be. Them having basically a team leadership meeting, sitting down, looking each other in the eye, the whole thing. And I don't know. You know, you hear a lot of that stuff. And if it doesn't work, it looks laughable. If it does, you know, it's the greatest thing ever. It's tonight and the next few games are maybe the most important thing of the season is how do you respond once the 10-game win streak is over? Everyone loved you during it, nationally, locally. Everyone loved you during it. But if you go from a 10-game win streak to you lose 3 in a row and you don't pick up points in any of them.
You're back to same old Sabres.
You're back to same old Sabres. It doesn't even have to be, you know, that 8 to 10-game losing streak. Literally just picking up 3 losses could really kind of sink you. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm going to the game on Saturday. You know, it's not that far away, and very quickly the feeling around that game, the vibe in the building could be very low if you lose to a team like Vancouver's not particularly good this year at home. You have the Rangers later this week as well on the road. They're bad at MSG, and then Anaheim, they're pretty darn good, though, on Saturday. This is going to be the most important part for them. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Love to hear your thoughts on the Sabres as well. But for the most part today, we have been talking the Bills as they get ready to go to Jacksonville for the wild card round this year. Sunday at 1 p.m., the old reliable time returns again. I was worried it was going to be like Saturday at 4:30. I was like, oh, man, everyone that wants to go to the Sabres game or the Bandits are playing as well. And it's like, nope, everyone's involved now. Everyone has to watch everything. Or even – I don't think it was ever going to be the Monday night game, but I don't know. There's some I'm always going to love about Sunday at 1. It just feels right. We'll go back to the phones here, and we'll start this segment off with Adam on the line. Adam, how are we doing?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Really caught me off guard there with the interview. I've never heard on the radio somebody referencing somebody working their nuts off. That was pretty – that caught me off guard. But just in terms of the Bills game, you know, just offensively real quick, one thing I'm hoping that everything Brady's been hiding from us this year all of a sudden gets unleashed this weekend. And one thing I would like to see more out of the offense is more two-back sets. I think our running backs are really an underused asset for the offense. Get running backs working against linebackers in space. Let them catch the ball, run with it. I think that's a very untapped asset we have in the offense. And defensively, to me, this is the McDermott game. Show me that you can game plan against a rookie head coach in the playoffs. I can see – I mean, we can all go back to Liam Cohen's press conference. This guy has his eyes wide open, and he's a rookie this year. So show me that you can be the veteran head coach that can come up big in this moment. And to me, I'm sorry, if we get ran out of the building on Sunday, it's not even a question whether being a McDermott. It's got to be McDermott for me. I think he's had way too many opportunities. And, you know, every year it seems like, I mean, aside from this year, I guess you can say, every year it seems to be he's handed a roster and we always look around and go, wow, this is one of the best Bills teams that we've ever seen. And to me, I really would be curious to see what the roster and I guess the mindset of the team would be under just Brandon Bean. But thanks for taking my call. Hang up and listen.
Adam, thanks for the call, man. You know, when you put it like that, though, if they get run out of the building, I think that's one thing. If it's right. A close game, they lose 28-24, what have you, I think then it's just, all right, not your year, you go on. I mean, if there's a bad call or something like that or just a coaching malpractice, it's different. I haven't even really thought if they get blown out, like what that would mean. It can absolutely happen. I mean, Jacksonville went to Denver and – beat them by 10. It was never close.
If they get blown out, I do wonder how much it's going to be in a how as well. Like, is it the defense does look wholly unprepared again and they just let things happen all over again and the offense is just running the same type of plays, predictable play calling, coaching that we've kind of seen be an issue with Joe Brady at times? Or is it just, are you getting outplayed by talent?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the context will be there if there's even a blowout. Everything is going to have context to it. Everything is going to have to be noted in a microscope, I guess. I hope we don't have to deal with that, but if we do,
yeah,
we will react accordingly.
The context of a loss like that would be very important. I also, though, do agree on the point of getting running backs more involved. That was a big part of what they did last year in the passing game was like guys like Ty Johnson, who for like a stretch there was their best receiving mm-hmm. option, and he was a huge X factor for them. And they have gone more towards the tight ends this year.
Yes.
Where when they're all healthy, you know, Dawson Knox to a lesser extent sort of like rediscovered his form a little bit there. Kincaid in very limited reps last week. Kind of as more of a ramp up period for him, looked very good. I still wonder what his year would look like if he had stayed healthy.
If he stays healthy, he's probably their leading receiver because he was 571 mm-hmm. yards, second on the team in just 12 games.
Right. So yeah, I wonder what his year looks like. And maybe we are having a different conversation about, you know, tight ends maybe just being complement weapons and maybe Kincaid is somebody that can be more than that. But to this point already in his career, he's kind of proven health has been an issue, and even just their utilization of how much he's on the field for them is a bit of a problem.
Healthy Kincaid also does give you something back that you didn't have in the offense. The big play chunker.
Mm.
Kincaid leads this team with 13 plays of 20 plus or more.
See, I was even just wondering too, like we haven't seen healthy Kincaid with the new look offense with Brandon Cooks. New look offense. I like the fact that they can stretch the field with him. He has to catch the ball more. He was able to do that a little bit against Philadelphia. Before that, not so much. But we haven't actually seen healthy Kincaid with that aspect of the offense. But, yeah, so, I mean, if both of them are able to stretch the field, like, you add that new element there. There is something there that you're, if you're the Jags, I've mentioned it, you have to look at the Cooks plays against Philadelphia and even before that of, okay, they can maybe do this here. We can't just, you know, move inside, flood the box, what have you, and just force them to do everything underneath. They can't, potentially, with a guy like Brandon Cooks against maybe the best secondary in football. He was constantly open against them. It didn't always lead to points for the Bills. They really struggled, for the most part, on offense against Philadelphia. Cooks, though, shined for them in that way and maybe had the best game as a receiver for the Bills this year.
Yeah.
803-0550, again, the number to call. Let's go to Frank next. Frank, how are we doing?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. University of Wyoming, long-time Josh Allen fan, large Denver Bronco fan as well. I live in Wyoming. Couple of comments. The Jacksonville game against the Broncos, it was, what was it, 31-17. I watched every play. The Broncos made a couple unwise errors at the time, and that game was a lot closer than the final score. But Jacksonville is a good team, and if my point is that if McDermott and Brady go in with just the same old conservative, bend not break, defensive plan for McDermott and Brady, just try to, you know, not do anything creative and different, you will get beat, in my opinion. And Jacksonville has some really good athletes that I saw. And it's going to take something unusual from McDermott in terms of game planning. You have to pressure Lawrence. He's having a great year. You know that. I know that. But something, you can't go in there with just the same old, and expect to win that game in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. It's not going to happen, in my opinion. But you have to pressure Lawrence. And I hope the Bills make it. I hope I can see a Bills and Broncos playoff game down the road. But it's just going to take something different. And I hope Josh gets an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. I think that's been lacking all year long, and I'd like to see more of it. And I'd be curious about your thoughts. Thank you.
Frank, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Frank. And we might be talking next week.
Yeah, I mean,
the Bills are a six seed. They would be the most likely at that point to go to Denver.
For me, with Jacksonville and you wanting to do something different. I mean, yeah, you don't want to go in with the same old. I think they've tried different things. It just hasn't worked. I mean, I've brought this up for, I think, the last 2 years. The talent level on defense, I don't think, has been nearly what is maybe touted as it is going into the season. I mean, the caller previous brought up, you know, the rosters. Man, this is one of the best Bills rosters we've ever seen. And I think a few years ago that was probably true. I'd say the last 2 years people have not been saying that. You know, last year the perceived identity of the team was a quiet retool that maybe we're going to have to take our lumps last year, and then by this year we're going to, you know, now we're back. Where I think the last 2 years in a whole have been more along the lines of the talent level's okay. I think they have tried different things. It just hasn't worked.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
See what happens. They can get to Lawrence. Denver got to Lawrence 5 times. They scored 34 points.
Yeah, that's the thing is I think you have to disguise looks and mess with them coverage-wise. That's what you're going to have to do here, and I think that it's going to be a large task for the defensive backs here that are a little banged up, but also Benford has been playing great in the second half of the season, back to form.
Mm-hmm.
Trey White has seemed to have found another gear that was not there at the beginning of the season. Taron Johnson's been much maligned this year. And he's going to get, what, Parker Washington?
Yeah, have fun with that one.
Yeah. That's not going to be a matchup I like. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think that's why I sit here, though. And
but look, can you disguise a coverage?
Yeah.
Offer up a little protection? Or if Johnson's able to step it back up, then you have something there. But you have not been getting a lot of interceptions this year in pass coverage. You only had 11 on the year. Not very typical of a Bills secondary, would you say?
I mean, not only they've kind of made their living off of we get it's been no break and we get takeaways. I think this is it's one of those reasons why I sit here. I'm confident in the Bills, in part because they've been there and done that. They've won at least a playoff game every year since 2020. But this is maybe their hardest test in the wild card round and perhaps their weakest team in the last 5 or 6 years. With that all being said, though, if they do win this game, because it is such a shaky AFC, I think they can probably beat anybody. This is maybe their toughest test up to this point. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be back for just one more segment here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you off to Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We've had a good time getting connected to our fans today, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Not really necessarily a vibe check, but just more, what are your confidence levels in the early days of the week for Bills and Jaguars this Sunday at 1? We also got some tweets as well. Bills Chat Podcast, always a good follow over on X, did tweet in, "Hi, worried about a close game coming down to arguably the best kicker in the NFL, Cam Little, versus maybe the worst, but I'm at a 7. That is probably a really good point.
We've not talked about that at all.
And, I don't love giving air, and I hate saying this, I don't love giving air to kickers because if it comes down to it, it is what it is. Like, let's ride.
Let me make my official statement on this right now.
But oof.
Don't let it get down to the kicker.
Yeah, please don't let it get down to either a it's seemingly perpetually injured Matt Prater, who's also in his 40s.
Yeah, like it,
or a guy they're going to bring off the street maybe today or tomorrow because they're doing workouts later today against, yeah, Cam Little, who broke the record for longest field goal and then is now the second longest field goal.
Do you know how annoying it is that on your worst drives you get to the 50 and you have a chance to score?
Yeah, it's painful. Painful.
And it's a legitimate chance to score.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan tweets in, "Feels very 50-50. I expect them to win, but at the same time, if they lost, I wouldn't be surprised. Probably it's because it's still..."
It's still Tuesdays and there's three Sabres games to get through.
Fair. I can understand that one. That's probably right. I mean, we've still got the Sabres to kind of get us there. And then also as well, I do agree. If they win, I'll be thrilled. If they lose, I probably won't be all that surprised. I mean, that's sort of where I've been leaning at most of this year. I think their talent level is not where it needs to be. And I think they do need to make some changes where teams like Jacksonville, they were talented teams with bad coaching, got good coaching, and you're seeing that talent level rise. Atlanta might be that team next year in the NFC. We'll see, of course, Michael Penix Jr. with a torn ACL. That may not be an exact one-to-one, but everyone's talked about Atlanta's talent for years.
And speaking of the Sabres, Sabres Live is coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.